It's lovely to be here this morning again. Come dine with me. I think that's a great title for a series of talks. And we're starting off with the lovely story of David and Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And the theme today is dining with the king. At this stage, David has become king, which happens kind of at the beginning of 2 Samuel. And up to this point, he's actually doing, seems to be, on the face of it anyway, doing a really good job in the eyes of God and in the eyes of people. Everyone's really pleased with how he's doing. It will go disastrously wrong. Chapter 11, a couple of chapters' time, adultery with Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah, and the consequences of that play out in a very painful way. But anyway, that's to come later. But this story here is very, very powerful and speaks to us, seems to me, in a very deep and rich way. And I really want to focus on the word kindness, which, if you've got your Bible with you, occurs three times in verse 1 and in verse 3 and in verse 7 of this story. To anyone left of the house of Saul who I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake. David is motivated by his friendship for Jonathan, of course, David's great friend who dies at the end of 1 Samuel. And the word that's translated kindness is a Hebrew word, chesed, which if you're not familiar with it, you might want to just say to yourself a couple of times, chesed, chesed, just to get hold of it, because we're going to be thinking about that quite a bit today. Which doesn't mean it's not tied up with sort of natural kindness, if you like, or pity. There is a Hebrew word for that, which is normally translated grace. And grace is just kind of unmerited favor. It's just when you take pity on someone or you're acting out of natural kindness, as it were. And that's all very good, very good. And that's grace. And that's the Hebrew word chain. This isn't chain. This is chesed. He wants to show chesed for Jonathan's sake. So what is chesed? It's something like covenant loyalty or covenant love. So David here is very clear that he's primarily motivated in showing this, what he does for Mephibosheth, by the covenant relationship which he had in his friendship with Jonathan. And also, interestingly, with the covenant relationship which he has with God. He says in verse 3 that I may is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's chesed? So the sort of chesed, the covenant loyalty, covenant love that David has known in his relationship with God, he wants it to flow out. There's that side of it going on as well. Now, I want to say that actually you may, I don't know how familiar you are with this passage. I am quite familiar with it. And in fact, I did a talk on this passage in February in the Fellowship of the King. No, people don't know that, but I mean, and you didn't know that when you asked me to speak on it. But the reason I did it, because it really illustrates very powerfully covenant and chesed in a very beautiful way. So I just want to say a little bit about it. Well, covenant, as you may know, is a very central biblical theme. And it's about mutually binding agreements that are, if you like, freely entered into. And they dominate the whole Bible. We think of all the covenants we have, the covenant between God and Abraham and with Moses and the Israelites. And, of course, with at Easter and the what Jesus did on the cross, bringing in the new covenant. And in the Bible, the degree of formality of covenants, they can be very formal with sort of everything written down and, you know, or they can be very informal, and the scale of them can vary hugely. But it's basically about mutually binding agreements which are freely entered into, and they would include marriages, which obviously is very small scale, friendships involving groups of people or tribes or nations, or it might be treaties between nations or groups, and of course the covenant relationships we have with God. And the normal form of them roughly is there's some kind of history between the two people, like with David and Jonathan. They start off, yeah, they get on pretty well, and they kind of like each other. And then this leads to an agreement. And we see this if you turn to 1 Samuel 18. I'm not going to read it, but in verse 3, they make a covenant. Jonathan makes a covenant with David. And this covenant is a forward-looking thing. There's a kind of a shared vision. Yes, we're both going to be committed to this vision of what this friendship's going to look like, and it involves certain mutual commitments and expectations, and that's at the heart of it. So yeah, we're going to be sort of, we're both going to work at this, we're going to be committed, we're going to have expectations of each other that we're going to consider ourselves to be bound by, and this is really where chesed comes in. And very often with the covenant would come food, as often a meal. So as Christians, we are baptized, as Pete was this morning. That's the point at which we make our covenant commitment to God. And then that's renewed when we have communion. It's a meal where we're renewing and reminding ourselves and reaffirming our covenant commitment, in our relationship with God through Jesus. And one of the things I find interesting is that this isn't just a sort of biblical thing. It's not just, you know, God is not eccentric and sort of imposing all these strange things on us. It's actually part of the way that God has made us, and we see relationships along these lines in all cultures and in all societies. It's how God has made us. Because as human beings, it's very good for our lives to be centered around something that is bigger and more powerful than simply our own appetites, you know, being driven by this desire or that desire or what thoughts that come into our head on the one hand, or just sort of scraping some sort of mere survival on the other hand. But it's good to choose to commit and bind ourselves to others and to one another in long-term relationships with other people and with God. And that is part of the glory, actually, of being human, that we are able to do that and that we do that. And it's these kind of come-what-may commitments, rain or shine, that's really important and central to being human. And it'd be good just to reflect on that in our own lives, the different covenant commitments that we have, formal and informal, big scale, small scale, centrally with God, but also with others, other people as well, in the various relationships that we have. And one of the great things about chesed, this covenant loyalty, covenant love, is it's always positive. Because it's about stuff that is not legally enforceable. You know, my wife can't sue me if I don't bring her a cup of tea in the morning. So it's not about that. It's not some sort of contract where you say, oh, all right, I'll do this then, or I'll do that then. It's actually about looking for ways, looking for opportunities to affirm, to celebrate, to build up the relationship. That's what David is doing here. He loves Jonathan. He has a great love for Jonathan, and he wants to demonstrate that. And he wants to demonstrate it by showing kindness to any one of Jonathan's relatives who may still be around. And that's lovely. That is exactly what it's about. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, God wants a cheerful giver in our walk with him, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not being dragged along. And it's a good test, isn't it? Good challenge for us in our relationships. Is that how we are? In our marriages, in our relationship with God, in our church life, in our workplace, whatever it is. Are we sort of eager like David is? It's great. Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him chesed because of Jonathan, because of the covenant relationship I had with Jonathan? I want to express some covenant loyalty, covenant love to that person, even though Jonathan isn't around. I value that relationship so much, I want to show something of it. And this chesed is the opposite of, it's the antidote to legalism. Legalism is where, oh, this covenant, oh, all right then, oh, I'll do this, oh, I'll do that. It's all very reluctant. But this isn't about that. This is something very positive, very affirming, very good. And it's about building up the relationship, affirming the relationship, wanting the relationship to go really well. And one of the lovely things about this passage is Mephibosheth's disability. His feet don't work very well. And, you know, you may think, oh, will he be worried about that? I mean, maybe this kind of quite dominates his life. He's lame in both feet. We don't know exactly what it means. It probably dominates his life quite a lot. It's interesting that Ziba, in verse 3, that's all he says about him. He's a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet. It's certainly very dominant as far as Ziba is concerned. But actually, we are confident that this will not in any way dominate the relationship between Mephibosheth and David. Because David isn't doing it out of pity, and he's not going to be despising or rejecting Mephibosheth. We know that actually his disability, he'll almost be blind to it. Because when David greets Mephibosheth, when he deals with Mephibosheth, actually what is dominant is Jonathan. So David looks at Mephibosheth and he sees Jonathan. You know, and that's the basis on which he's dealing with Mephibosheth. Because it's about the center of gravity is the relationship he had with Jonathan. That is what is bringing in this relationship with Mephibosheth. And, you know, similarly today, when God looks at Pete, I mean, we all have failings, we all, you know, when God looks at any of us, he sees Jesus and he brings Easter to mind. That is the basis of his dealings with us. You know, we may have our insecurities, we may have our anxieties. And I'm sure Mephibosheth did when he came into David's presence. But David wasn't judging Mephibosheth. He was just remembering Jonathan, and he was wanting to express the love that he had for Jonathan in an act of chesed, in an act of covenant loyalty, covenant love. And that's the basis of it. And so the fact that Mephibosheth's feet don't work very well is not a problem at all. And it's an interesting contrast, isn't it, on our relationship with God to something like, come dine with me. Cool, if you ever watched it, where you have to prove yourself, or people get very anxious, will I be up to the mark? Or on the other hand, they're very boastful, or they need to put everybody else down and compare each other. There's no need to impress here. Mephibosheth does not need to impress David. There's no need for insecurity or anxiety. Everything is completely secure because of the covenant relationship that David had with Jonathan. That's what it's all coming out of. And it's the same for us and God. And so this covenant gives a really secure context out of which the relationship can grow naturally. It's not just a sort of one-off gesture that David is doing. David really wants this relationship with Mephibosheth to grow out of this very, very secure basis. David wants it to go well, you know, and so does Mephibosheth, and it's great. And the great thing about covenant, when it works well, is that there's a greater blessing for everybody than you can get otherwise. So, for instance, in a marriage, hopefully, it brings greater blessing to both people who are involved than either of them could get separately. And that's really good. And so you get this kind of virtuous circle where, because the relationship is good, that encourages you to build a relationship, and that results in even more blessing. And so you want to build a relationship even more, and it's just blessing and relationship and blessing and relationship, growing and growing. It's just great. And it's how God has made us. And it's really good because God is a God of love, and God is a God of covenant, and it's really good for us to get hold of this. And, you know, the good thing is it's not just for David and Mephibosheth, but there's a kind of an overflow. It's like, you know, as we see it here with David, anxious to bless other people because of his relationship with Jonathan, wants it to overflow there. And David in his own relationship with God, I find it very moving. There's a bit where David spares Saul's life, and it's really interesting. And he says, it's interesting because he says, he says to Saul, "Saul, as your life today was precious to me, so may my life be precious to," and you're expecting him to say, "may my life be precious to you," but he doesn't say that. He says, "As your life today was precious to me in my sight, so may my life be precious to God." You know, David is aware that actually his covenant relationship with God, part of the expectation of that is an overflow of generosity, of mercy, of blessing out to others, as it is for us too. And I just love that David is mindful in his dealing with other humans, that God is watching, and part of the covenant expectation is an overflow of generosity and mercy and love outwards. So, just want to finish with a couple of sort of observations. Often the covenant loyalty, covenant love is slightly sort of hidden in translation. I mean, that isn't a problem because in the sense that, you know, when it talks about God's love and God's mercy, those are all true. Those are all true things. But just want to hear the difference that it makes. So, and just for the reassurance in our relationship with him, the security it gives us. Psalm 51 begins, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, according to your covenant loyalty, covenant love." That's a very reassuring basis, isn't it? We're not just relying on God feeling kind or being impressed by us or anything like that. It's on the basis of the covenant relationship. That is the basis on which we are appealing to God in that psalm we were reading earlier. Psalm 23 talks about how goodness, normally translated goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life, as indeed they will. Really, it's surely goodness and covenant loyalty, covenant love from God towards me. That will follow me all the days of my life. What security there is in that. Elsewhere in the psalm, Psalm 118, verses, I think it's 1, 2, 3, and 4, about how God's chesed, his covenant loyalty, covenant love, endures forever. What a thing to celebrate. It's not just that God happens to be kind. It's actually that God has made a covenant to which he is committed. And we can rely on that. We can lean on that. God is a God who deals with covenant. That's something we can lean on. And his covenant loyalty, his covenant love endures forever. Psalm 118 and 136. And in the New Testament also, interestingly, it's very likely because the Greek word that's used to translate it in the Old Testament, eleos, is the Greek word that they borrow this Greek word to make it mean covenant love. So in the New Testament, when we read this word, very likely it means the same thing. So hear how it changes the passages. Matthew 20, verse 29, blind beggars in the road. What do they call out? Jesus, son of David. They don't just say, have mercy on me. They're not saying, oh, show us some human kindness. It's likely that they're saying, Jesus, son of David, show covenant loyalty, covenant love towards us. That's interesting, isn't it? Powerful. In James chapter 2, what is it that triumphs over judgment? Love triumphs over judgment. Yeah. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It probably covenant loyalty, covenant love, that triumphs over judgment. It's very interesting, very powerful, very deep and rich theme of the Bible, the covenant loyalty, the covenant love. God deals with us through covenants which are secure and to which he is completely committed, sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, to establish that new covenant, which is an open invitation for everybody to come in. And that's it, really. And I just want to finish by saying, you know, we are obviously all Mephibosheth as we come into the presence of the Lord, but there's no need to be worried that our feet don't work well or whatever other problem we may have, whatever sin we may have, whatever issue we have. We know that God welcomes us. God is keen to be in covenant relationship with us. We know that. That's the clear, consistent message of the Bible. God invites us to that. And I just want to finish with a lovely passage, which is all about dining with the king, from Psalm 36, verse 7, which you may want to turn to. A lovely passage from the Psalms, and it's about dining with the king and just trusting in and celebrating his chesed. And it says, "How priceless is your chesed! How priceless is your covenant loyalty, your covenant love." It says this about dining with the king. "Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast," or "we feast in the abundance of your house, and you give us drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." Amen. Thank you.